Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. What's going on, everybody? Well, as we thought and as predicted right here, we would be pulling out of the Iran deal. And is anybody surprised? Should we be surprised? It was a crappy deal. And why would we want to be in bed with those animals anyways? Again, terrorism. You know, the way they treat their people. So no surprise that we pulled out, and really no real surprise at the market's reaction to it. I mean, you know, the market sold off a little bit, and based on, you know, the uncertainty of what can happen next, what retaliation there might be. But did Iran not take full advantage of the situation? You know, that's one of the things we always have to remember is, you know, what is the end game with these things? Who would want to be in bed with them anyways? I mean, you know, they're thugs and they're killers, and you know, that's where most of the terrorism comes out of. So why would we even think of or want to be in bed with them to begin with? So now, you know, we're going to see how the markets play out. And of course, you know, is that going to be the event? Is that going to be the Black Swan event? And I say no. I think the Black Swan event is exactly what we said it was going to be. It's going to be rising interest rates with a rising dollar. I don't think any of that has changed. You know, I think when you look at the big picture, the markets are overvalued. That's the big picture. Forget about anything else. And again, you know, I know that Warren Buffett had sent out an example earlier, maybe after his weekend conference. I'm not exactly sure when, but stating that if you'd have taken, you know, $10,000 and bought it at the S&P in the 40s, okay, or you bought $10,000 worth of gold, the equities would be worth a gazillion times more. But that's not a surprise. In general, I mean, again, when you're buying gold for some safety and some potential security. You're not looking for the growth. Whereas if you're in the stock market, which there is no better investment than the equity markets. Okay, make no mistake about it. For the biggest return, for the best possible cash return, the most amount that you're going to make will always be in equities because of the way that they move, because of what they do, because of dividends and because of other growth. But that has nothing to do with, you know, how you should set your portfolio up. I mean, everybody should have, you know, some sort of a setup with, you know, some basic things and some basic security, including the hard assets of gold. Again, we've never said different. But if you can hedge your portfolio, then you don't necessarily have to own gold because you have the security based on your hedge. So that would always be something that we would be, you know, concerned about and talking about is where do we get the best opportunity? Okay. And again, the best opportunity for the highest return on dollars is always going to be the equity market. It's as simple as that. There is, I mean, certainly it could be Bitcoin, you know, had you bought at the bottom and sold at the top. But for steady, relatively conservative growth, good solid companies make the difference. Okay, that's really what it comes down to. Is by investing in good solid companies, you will always find an opportunity for growth. Okay. So whatever we decide to do, whatever we're looking at, whatever you want to think about, there is nothing, you know, not real estate, nothing. Nothing competes with the U.S. equity market from a compounding return and a method for you to make the most amount of money. Now, again, that does not mean that you should not have some safety plays somewhere. We always say that. We're not silly. We're not stupid. We understand that we always have to have some safety and some things that make us feel comfortable. And that's why you should always have a small percentage of your portfolio tied up in, you know, either in gold or silver or, you know, real estate, something. But again, if you chose not to, and if you wanted to be 100% in equities, which certainly we have no problem with that, then being 100% equities is also okay, because at the end of the day, equities will give you the biggest return. And if you know how to and are willing to hedge out, then you never have to worry about getting out of the equity market, because you can simply see that you're going to get the return and have it, the return come safely, because we don't have anything to worry about when we do that. And that is always something that you have to keep in mind as an investor, as a trader, is safety. I mean, after all, that's really what our concern is where do we get the safety? Where do we get the ability to hang in and keep our place and not have to worry about anything? And again, that's where, you know, we often talk about how to protect that portfolio, because at the end of the day, you're trying to defend and protect your assets. And you can do that simply by the ability to hedge them, to keep them clean, to keep them neat, and to stay and keep yourself in the best position. And that's something that we always like to talk about, because that's how we maintain the ability to stay in the markets and the ability not to have issues that are going to create problems for you in the long run. And that is always something. So Iran deal, okay, we're out, no big deal. Oil is reacted. In fact, at one time on Tuesday, oil was down $2.50, and it did come back. But again, we still stand by our views that the tops are in an oil, and that there isn't that much more room to go. This is all a manipulated piece of garbage anyways. You know, there is no economic benefit of the higher oil prices, as everyone would like you to believe. Okay, obviously, any of you in business know that the cheaper you can get your goods that you need for services, the better off you're going to be. And so there is no real value in looking for ridiculous prices, and that does not bode well for the economy as money would want, because it does cut back on your ability to spend money. It cuts back on everything that we do. All right. So now, if you want to continue to believe that it's better, then okay, that's okay for you. But at the end of the day, it is not better for our economy to have oil prices spiking higher. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, I want to remind you to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And also, I want to remind you about our high school investing program. We continue to try to help educate our youth, and the way that we do that is with our curriculum. You can check it out at highschoolinvesting.com, see what we're doing. If you'd like to help us out, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And if you'd like to make a little contribution, that'd be great. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out, have a break, and we'll be back with more of The Bubba Show after the break. Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, my friends. And of course, you know, we've been talking about, you know, the Iran deal and the end of it. And we couldn't be happier that the deal is dead. You know, it's like the Wicked Witch. Let's throw some water on it so we can hear, I'm melting. In the meantime, that is also going to create some work on the on oil. And, you know, again, many of we've argued via Twitter and many other areas about what oil is going to do. And of course, I say it's been painful, but I think that oil is going significantly lower. You know, it may have reached the overall top. It may have a little bit more room to go. We can't ever say for sure, but I would continue to look at the prospects and the supply and everything else that we have. And say to you that, hey, you know, I don't see it. I mean, you know, again, to me, it doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense. And again, I'm a firm believer that, you know, we'll be able to produce and make much more oil. And you know, as you know, we believe that oil at some day will go back down to the teens. Now, again, this is not a call for today. This is just a much longer call for on a much longer time horizon, that at some point oil is going to go into the tank, because if we can't figure out how to you know, get rid of the demand for oil, I mean not the demand but the use of oil, and if we can't figure out how to cut it down, then I think that there's a much bigger problem. And of course, we know, as we've said many times, that a lot of the problems come down to, you know, the lobbyists and those things that keep oil in the forefront. But, you know, as more of these electric cars come out, as more of these electric trucks come out, as more of these things continue to show their way, all we're doing is we're going to be able to say, hey, okay, that's exactly what we're looking for. And that should take away the demand. And again, that is something that, you know, you have to look into the future, because I don't think we'll have demand forever. Okay, I don't think it'll be that big forever. I think what you're going to see is the ability for us to find other sources of energy, and then I think what you'll see is a big change in how much energy that we actually do use, and I think that becomes the bigger story. And what's going to replace oil? And of course, we know that, you know, that's been talked about many times, of natural gas. But, you know, there hasn't been a big enough political lobby to get that point to natural gas. So that is something that, of course, we always want to focus on is what's next. And that would be the things that you'd be potentially looking to invest in. What would be the next change or the next play for oil? But again, this is more of a political statement from the oil companies than it is anything else. There is no need that we should still be pounding down oil, and there is so much oil in the world that and since we've been able to get it out ourselves, there shouldn't be much of a problem. And so we'll see. Again, this is always something that we never know for a fact, but we'll see how it plays out. And we're pretty comfortable with the fact that the highs are in, and understand the punishment and pain we may have to take. But again, we would expect and without any real issue to see oil prices much lower than they are today at some point in time. And I think that is exactly what we will eventually end up seeing. So now the actual markets, again, we believe that the stock markets are also at the highs, and it doesn't mean that they won't go a little bit higher. But again, the overall pattern suggests that we should start to turn south at some point. And there's the correction, in our opinion, is underway. Now, again, does that mean we're going down tomorrow? No, it just means that we should see, and we've seen it since January 29th. We've seen prices work their way lower, and I would expect to see that to continue, because again, as much as we'd like to believe that everything is hunky-dory, I don't believe that it is. I mean, again, you cannot show me where things are so phenomenal and so great here. I can't see it myself, and I hope for you that they are great. Again, I'm an American, and I want it, everything to be great. But I don't see it. I see more problems and troubles than I see anything else. And that, to me, says the bigger story. And that we continue to ignore and avoid tells me the bigger story. And that is something that, again, I think that we need to, you know, focus on, because that is where the bigger issues do come from. And until we can get rid of those bigger issues, I think that really tells us the exact story that we have. And to me, that is where the issues come into play. And until we can get those out of the way, I think we continue to see, many, many problems. And again, it goes from jobs to false earnings to stock buybacks to all of those things that we should be talking about and be concerned about, because those are very, very curious things that we continue to hear about, and yet nobody wants to talk about them. We want to ignore the truth. You know, it's like, you know, Jack Nicholson, you can't handle the truth. Well, I think that's one of the things that we're seeing, is the inability to handle the fact that the markets and the economy is not very good. It's not in very good shape at the moment. And that becomes a concern that we should be thinking about, is to, you know, where is that issue? Where is that problem? And how are we going to solve it? And I think we can solve it. But again, every market has to have a correction at some point in time. Markets just do not go straight up, nor do they go straight down. They have corrective moves. They have action. And I think that is something that we will look for, because I think that's going to be a certainty that we are going to see some activity that will not be very well and very good for everybody. I think, again, it comes back down to just the natural laws. Okay. And again, it's just like the laws of physics. I mean, you know, things have to come back. Things have to do what they do. And they've done them for 150 years. I mean, they've done it for thousands of years. I mean, this isn't the first go around. It's just with the stock market. But we will see things happen, and we will see things change. And as they do, and as we see them, we will figure out how to work our way through them. And hopefully the next time we can work our way through them without the yo-yos from the Fed backing up everything and trying to make everybody all better. Okay. Again, that's something that, you know, we are very concerned about, as always, is, you know, the inability of us to actually work through the problem and let the markets actually price themselves out, versus being controlled and manipulated by somebody to go ahead and do that. And I think that is something that is real, and something that has to be checked out. And until we get to that point, I think we see a much bigger problem. And that's really where we are in the entire environment. And you've seen it in many markets in the past. I mean, you can actually talk, since we talked about oil, you can say you saw it in oil when oil was down in the 20s. I mean, it corrected. It went from 140 to 20s. And, of course, now it should be ready to correct again. And that, just like the equity markets. Again, that's not, it shouldn't be something that should concern you. It's something you can defend against, and you can hedge yourself. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, don't forget to go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day. And also, don't forget about my daily update, which you can certainly get. All you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com and fill out the little box that comes with it, and you can get in for free. And every day I'll email you what I saw that day and what I expect to see tomorrow, like getting tomorrow's newspaper today. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out for a break. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And as we continue to see what's going on, I had a couple of things that I found kind of disturbing. And one would be the action and the words spoken by our good friends Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett. First of all, they're calling the cryptocurrencies, or Bitcoin specifically, rat poison. And of course, I'm not saying that it's the greatest thing ever, but, you know, they are also the same guys that called the internet rat poison, basically. So, you know, again, just because they're the richest guys in the world and they've accumulated wealth does not make them 100% correct in what their opinions, nor does my opinions always correct either, but at least we're working on, you know, what facts are, not on, you know, just because they don't understand that they want to call it rat poison and a bubble and tulip mania and all the other things. Again, they are true free markets. Of course, guys like that, they don't like change. They don't like the financial revolution that's going on. And of course, if you wanted to get one step farther, you know, Mr. Buffett and Mr. Munger have a big stake in Goldman Sachs, which, geez, they're in the Bitcoin business. So you always got to wonder what guys are saying, because their overall views are not always in line with what they tell us. So these are the same guys that made the big bitch about tax inversion and buying companies in other parts of the globe, and so that you could avoid taxes. And 2 weeks after Mr. Buffett made his big speech about this, what did he do? He went out and bought Hortons in Canada. Oh, so he could invert his taxes. So, again, I have not a lot of respect for them as people. I obviously can certainly respect the monstrosity, the company they built. But they're sharks like everybody else. And don't be fooled by that old country boy. I don't know any better and all that other crap, because it's a bunch of horse, you know what, right? And in the meantime, you know, one of the things we know with all the trade war stuff and all the stuff that's going on with the economy is China's lying. Right? They're in trouble. They're not going to be so easily going to be able to ignore the trade war part and whatever. It is a fact that China needs us a lot more than we need them. We don't need them at all, quite frankly. And with today's world and what's going on with, you know, with unions and things like that, we could actually produce probably goods for very close to the same price that they're producing now, but produce them in the good old US of A. So, again, there's some things going on, but China's got some big financial problems they have. But because they manipulate everything and there, they keep things in track, so it doesn't necessarily help their economy. And I think that's something that is something that we need to always keep our minds on, is that, you know, they talk a good game, but again, until you can get inside their books and know what they're doing, and you know about the hidden cities, and you know that they're doing all kinds of crazy things there, there's issues to talk about. And of course, there's talk about a potential balanced budget. You know, there is no shot, right? I mean, you know, what we get to deal with here is a crock
of people that are globbing and grabbing onto the money that's there. And there's no way that they will balance this budget. We'll be lucky if we don't go broke first. But there's talk, but we would call that kooky talk and insanity. I don't know if you've been following the Elon Musk. They had a really very strange press conference last week and with earnings, and he got into a little bit, and he stepped out and bought about 33,000 shares of the stock himself. And of course, that's all well and good, except that most of the money, that company has not made one dime. So is he really taking the money out of his pocket, or did he figure out some way to get some money raised? Again, I'm not saying anything. I think the car is great. I think the idea is great. The technology is great. But the company is in bad shape. And, is the real question here is, are we the taxpayer going to get stuck with the bill once again? Because originally it started with all these tax cuts and tax breaks that Tesla got, and they're still losing a fortune. I don't know how they're going to rearrange everything, how they're going to get it together. But my view is that they're going to have some mighty, mighty big troubles. I think they have basically no shot as the company sits today. Now, again, somebody will be able to take them over probably, and somebody will be able to fix the mess that's there. But it is a mess. Make no mistake about it. It is a mess. And of course, one of the things that's going on in today's world of markets is obviously everybody's talking about the Apple going to be $1 trillion, and it certainly will be. There's not even a question that Apple will get to $1 trillion valuation. That is something that we wouldn't even think about saying it can't happen. It'll probably happen sooner than later. That could be the final blow. Apple's only going to go about $10. So they get it to go up 10, get it to $1 trillion, make that statement, then get cut in half. It would be very similar to what happened when they were the first company at the $700 level. So, again, there's a lot of things that go on in markets, but I think one of the things for concern is the amount of the percentage amount that the FANG stocks now control of the NASDAQ full value between Facebook, Apple, Amazon, and Netflix and Google. Their stock, they're 27% of the entire index. 27% of the entire index. What does that mean? Well, what it means is that, the index is not what you remember it to be. The index is now just an index of those, basically those five stocks. And, again, not there's anything wrong with it, but again, it is out of balance. It's something that we talk about a lot, about balancing your own portfolio. Okay. If you're too far out of balance, how are you going to, what are you going to do if something goes wrong? So now the NASDAQ is no longer as crazy as it was, and it's not as well balanced. So now we're back to the most well-balanced index or index is the S&P 500. Because again, there's nothing that's too overweight, that index. And I think that's something that needs to be, always looked at and addressed and thought about, because those are things that do make us have to have some concerns in. And so I would certainly be worried and slightly concerned about that. But I thought one of the most interesting stories of the week was one of the Facebook founders, one of the billionaires wants to build a $3 trillion tax on the rich to pay for universal basic income. And I go, really? I'm not interested in that. I don't know. Are you interested in that? I don't think we should have universal. I don't think we should have socialism. I think that these are things that are always an issue and always a concern. And I think that's a much bigger problem. But, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And, I'm not a big fan. Of course, I'm not a big fan of socialism. So that would be the first thing that we have to be concerned about.
And of course, those are always things that we worry about is again, the one of the reasons that the cryptos are so unpopular is because just for these very reasons, because we are losing control of our own environment. And because too many people that have no idea, and even if they did have an idea, why would we want to give up our freedom and our control of our own money and our own ways of making a living? And I think that is really the bigger problem when I think about it. And when I do it, is we have this issue that doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense. And I think that becomes the much bigger problem as we move forward into things, is why do we want to have others to control what we're doing? And I always find that a problem. It's the same as the, you know, again, the central bank theory is to what they do. They actually keep control, and they can do whatever they want with the money. And I find that troubling and very problematic from my side, and never makes me happy. Anytime they get involved, I think that's a much bigger problem. And that's why I think we see a lot of these different things happening, is for just those particular reasons. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, always great to have you as part of the show. And I want to remind you to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm, the only station you need. And of course, also is our high school investing program, which we help educate the youth of America. And we want to continue to do so, but we need your help. If you'd like to help us out, go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading, and help us out because of all the content we provide. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. We're going to step out, have a break, and we'll be back with more of The Bubba Show after the break. Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We're coming right back to you right after the break.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And obviously some crazy action yesterday, and some wild market stuffs. And, we've got some things going on. But, of course, you know, there's still a lot of talk about, you know, the farmers and the trade wars. And, you know, I keep looking for the break in the prices. I keep looking for corn and wheat and soybeans to get crushed, and they keep going higher. Now, they did have a little bit of sell-off early in the week, but again, from my perspective, it's hard to imagine that there's a major problem. And again, I'm from the side, I believe it's going to be a big benefit for farmers and producers and traders. I think it's going to be a big benefit for everybody. I don't think that this is going to be a bad situation at all. I think it's actually going to be a very good situation. And I think the only people that are making the big deal about it are the lobbyists, because they're concerned because it's going to cut into their potential paycheck. So I think that to me is more of a concern when I look at it. And, you know, we had this big dump in oil, yesterday. And, when you look at the oil, and I tweeted out when they were talking about it, I go, oil is overvalued. Oil is manipulated. It's in the wrong formation. It should go significantly lower, which I do believe it will. And I think that this is something that, again, many of us get trapped up in the emotional state of what's going on with oil and some of the things. And I think that's, you know, kind of the problem, that we start to follow too many people that have virtually no clue and no idea of what is going to happen next. And I think that is something to me that is backwards, plus the fact that we've got, you know, rig counts continue to go out, which means that the rigs are, you know, the more rigs, the more they can take out, which would create more supply and yada, yada, yada. So we'll see. And of course, you know, this ties into, you know, I think the big commodity rally we're going to get here. I think there's a very good chance in the grain markets to see what we call big markets this year. I think there's a very real possibility that we could see extremely big markets. I think that they're going to go. And I think if the rest of my theory comes to play where the equities are going to collapse, then I think it really works out and becomes a big tool. So I think that there's something to be said for that. But I think the biggest problem, and I think we're being misled the most, is on the jobs. I mean, the jobs stink. You know, we talked about this yesterday. I mean, jobs are brutal, and certainly pay is brutal. So we've got the stagflation coming back into play, and you know, we can say whatever we want. We can say, no, it's not part of it. No, it's not happening. And I can, well, okay, good. If you're not feeling it, that's great. But I would find that hard to believe. To me, I look at it as purely a model of broken down. We're not going to get much farther. And I think that becomes an overall bigger problem here when we start to try to look at it. Because at the end of the day, all right, the earners are not earning anywhere near what they should be. They have nowhere near kept up with the rate of the no inflation. So again, I think that becomes a real problem. And of course, you know, productivity is up, but the hourly compensation is down. So it becomes again a story, and it's concerning. Because I guess what happened to true capitalism? When did we decide that we were no longer interested in true capitalism? You know, that to me is another issue. Because again, if you don't have the incentive to create something, why would you want to go ahead and create it? Okay. Again, if you don't have the incentive, why would you want to? So that is something that would be troubling to me, because I don't see an incentive to, you know, be the next big thing, the next big inventor, the next big whatever, because you're not going to get rewarded for it. So why would you want to do that if you're not going to have any reward for doing it? I mean, you know, we can talk all we want about being good Samaritans. We can talk all we want about doing the right thing. But at the end of the day, it comes down to money. Life comes down to two things. One of them is money. And, you know, I find it interesting. And if you don't think so, just look at the sanctions and the what the sanctions have done to many of these places. Again, that's really what it comes down to. And I think that's something that, you know, we have to, you know, certainly look at to understand, because that is really what makes the world go round. All right. And that's always something that, you know, that I wonder how many people actually understand. You know, this is one of the problems I have with us. You know, most people will say, well, that's the way we've always done things. And that's one of the problems I have with the way we've always done things, is the way we've always done things has not worked. Yes, we have a great country. No question about it. Yes, some are doing very well, but the majority are not. Okay. The majority are getting relieved of whatever wealth they have. And I find that to be a concern. Okay. And, you know, those are things that to me are problems. And, you know, that's where I think we need to, you know, really turn the corner. Okay. So we can put ourselves, and you know, we'll see where it all comes from.
And that is something that we always have to focus on, because that becomes the important things. And of course, you know, again, markets do what markets do, and we see things that happen. And of course, this is why we need to always keep ourselves in proper order and understanding the actual how the market actually works. This is something that, again, I find interesting, is so few understand the actual market and the price discovery model and everything else that goes on involved in a market. And to me, that becomes, you know, a sad state of affairs, because that's really what it all comes down to, is understanding how the markets work, is the chance it gives you to be in good shape and gives you the opportunity to be successful is by understanding the market function and how markets work. And I think that is something that we've kind of let slide by over the years because we've never really taught how the markets work. And many, many out there don't understand what price discovery is, what the whole model is all about. And obviously I find that very sad because, you know, it's the way we've been trained. It's the way we've been taught. And it's the way everything else goes is that we don't give ourselves a fair fighting chance for the very simple and same reasons that we do not actually understand how the markets work themselves. And that's what I think that everybody needs to understand, is how does the market actually function and how it works, price discovery, asset classes repricing themselves, and so on. In the meantime, this has been The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horwitz. It's always great to have you as part of the show. Remember to go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day so you can help us reach our goal of 1 million downloads a month. And, of course, don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you free at bubbatrading.com. Fill out the little form. It's free, no credit card, nothing, and you'll get it sent to you each and every day. In the meantime, that'll do it for today, Wednesday, May the 9th. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, right here on The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.